Yes, good morning. I hope you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has met. We shall rejoice and we'll be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our study of the Bible. Here we study the Bible. We aim to study from the book of Genesis to Revelation. And by the grace of the Lord, we have been able to do 21 books of the Bible. And I thank God who has enabled us to do this. There is no limitation to revelation. God reveals his word to whoever shows the need. If you want God to reveal his word to you, indeed he comes out and he does that. And if you've not been able to listen to all the podcasts we've done straight from the book of Genesis, you can find them on our app, Bible In-Depth Network. All, you can also be able to find them on all podcast channels, Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, name it, you'll find us there. You search for Bible in Depth and you'll be able to find all the podcasts we've done. I believe the Lord shall speak to you. The Lord shall reveal his word to you. And you'll live a victorious life because we believe in victory at all times with the Lord on our side. And today I want us to continue with our study, and we'll be starting one of the books that raises most concern and interest for many. It's called the Song of Solomon. And some call it Song of Songs. And there's been lots of interpretation that has been given to this book. But we shall look at it in all angles, looking at the literal side of it, what it is when you read directly. It's like a relationship or a spell of love or speaking love between two lovers. And also, some have interpreted it as a book that's totally about Christ and the church. Yeah? They say whatever you read there is something that is connected to Christ himself and the church. And that is also another angle. And others see it as a drama. Of course, this is written by Solomon himself, the king, wisest that has ever lived, richest, wealthiest man. And some see it as a drama, like, hey, this guy gave us some drama that he was writing here. But we shall look at it in all angles. We shall look at it in the parts where it applies to Christ, where there can be an application, and also in the literal sense of love in itself. Two people who are expressing love for themselves. You know, sometimes we can want to make everything spiritual, yet it might not. Some of the theologians and scholars of this day have come out to say that if canonization was done today, this book might not have made it to the Bible because it seems so casual and so emotional and a tale of love and romance between two lovers. But hey, it made it to the Bible, and we shall look at it in all angles as Revelation leads us. And I will start with chapter 1. It says, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Of course, we have said and spoken that this book is written, or believed to have been written, by Solomon himself, the king of Israel. And the bride starts by speaking, saying, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. Draw me after you. Let us run. The king has brought me into his chambers. This bride here, or this woman here, this is believed to have been the Shulamite woman that is speaking here, and she is in need of the husband, yeah, who is Solomon in this case. And she comes out to say, your love is better than wine. Of course, this is a statement made to imply that it is your love that matters. Wine could be to some that it is better, but to this woman, she says, no, as far as we are concerned, if I have you, you're better than everything. If I have you, you're greater than wine, which might be treasured. Wine brings pleasure. it brings excitement. But to me, your love brings that excitement, brings that joy, brings that pleasure. That's what she's trying to say. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Yeah, that the smell that you have is great. Yeah, the oils that you have upon you are great. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. There are many who might want to have you. But then, I'm the one that you have. Yeah, I'm the one that you need to have because I love you. That's what she's trying to bring out here. Now, for those that interpret this in Christ and the church, of course, reading a number of interpretations and how people bring it out, they will compare, of course, the love of Christ, that it's better than everything. Yeah, that with Christ, you have everything. You don't need wine. You don't need anything, excitement, pleasures of the world like wine do. Yeah, his anointing is all that you need. His name is what is poured unto you. And you have the joy that you need. You have the peace that you need. He embraces you and gives you the peace of life. Yeah. And God says, we will exalt and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Of course, they also do apply that to the church and Christ, that we exalt his name. Yeah, we lift his name on high above everything else. Yeah, but also this woman is speaking in the sense of women who desire the king, women who love the king. Of course, when you get into their culture and their history and how kings used to operate, they had harems. Harems would have women or wives of kings. It is known to us through scripture, when you read in the book of Kings, that Solomon himself had 700 wives and 300 concubines. That's 1,000 women. How he used to handle them is something that has to be told. But he had 1,000 women. How you have 1,000 is a very interesting thing. But they had a harem. It was like a palace where they would put wives of kings. So whoever the king desired, he would call for. So this could also apply to that of the harem, the many that are there waiting for the king, I have been blessed to be chosen. This woman is speaking and saying, all those in the harem, 1,000 as they may be, they want you. But I'm the one that has been brought closer to you. And in verse 5, she goes on and says, I am very dark but lovely. She's taking her attitude, she's taking her beauty beyond what people may describe. You know, sometimes there are all descriptions of how the light ones are the beautiful ones. But who said so? Yeah? God makes everybody. And it gives you that perfect look that you require. So, I don't have to go out and bleach so that I am light. Then I'll be considered beautiful. This woman is bringing a clear picture for us, saying, no, I'm dark and I'm beautiful. Yeah? Don't be insecure about yourself. Don't be insecure about your body. Don't be insecure about how your skin color looks. No, you are dark and beautiful. Don't be insecure about the nose and the size of your nose. However big it might be, it is a perfect fit for your body. Make it smaller and you won't look good. Yeah, take it and say, my nose is big and I look beautiful. And I'm here. Yeah? My eyes are big, but they're beautiful. Yeah, just be like this Shulamite woman. She says, I am dark, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedah, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not gaze at me because I'm dark, because the sun has looked upon me. What is she saying here? She's saying, what has made me dark is the toil of life. I am always out in the sun working, and the rays hit me. They kill my skin. They mess me up. You know, there are things in life that you do that really deplete you. Yeah, the troubles of life, the works of life, and you work so hard, and some of the things that new people reach and say, as you've done dark, what has happened to you? You're fading. That's what sometimes they use. You've faded. Don't worry, you can fade but keep beautiful. Keep your attitude up and your esteem. And say, yeah, I'm faded but beautiful. So this woman is saying, do not gaze at me because I'm dark. Yeah. You know, they could have been looking. They've been in the harem. That's where they stay. You know, in the harem, you take an example of Esther. We looked at the book of Esther and how they used to take care of those girls that were for the king. Yeah. That they've picked for the king. Ointment for a year. Taking care of you. Making sure your skin is on point, right fragrance, smelling good. And these in the harem could have looked at her and said, who is this? Dark, beaten by rays, hit by life. You don't look good. But she says, do not gaze at me because I'm dark, because the sun has looked upon me. Yeah? And she goes and tells them why she looks that way. She says, my mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Yeah, they made me take care of the vineyard. They said, you girl, go out and take care. Go out in the sun. And because of that, my skin has turned. Yeah, it's become dark. It's not the other original print that used to shake nations. No, it's turned and gotten other colors that to you who are being taken care of in the harem may not consider beauty, but whatever it is, I am dark but lovely. I am dark but beautiful. Yeah? Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you pasture your flock, where you made it lie down at noon. For why should I be like the one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? Of course, the comparison here with veiling attached, remember the example of Tamar, yeah? Of Judah. And veiling was more attached to prostitutes, that they will veil and they will get out into public, trying to lure some into their beds. And here she says, I won't be like those, yeah? I'll be open, but I need my person, the one that I love, the one that my soul loves, yeah? And this woman is taking it beyond. She's saying, it's not about my looks. My soul loves that person, and that person loves me. You know, sometimes we can attach all things to love and conditions to love, but if it's love, it's love. And sometimes you ask, what did they love about that woman? What did they love about that man? It is not your duty to tell that. If love has come, it has come. Well, the other person has lost their beauty in your eyes, faded. If they are loved, they are loved. That's what Christ does to us as well. He loves you, even after you've faded, considered faded. Even after the rays have hit you, even after the sun has hit you, and you've lost all. Yeah? Even after the troubles of the world have hit you left, center, and everywhere, He still loves you. That is the grace that Christ gives us. And our lives need to long for Him and tell Him, where are you, my Lord? The one that I love, the one that my soul longs for. Where are you? The one that gives me comfort, the one that gives me strength, the one that does not look at the troubles of life that have hit me and discard me to have been fettered, the one that gives me an opportunity and says, you may not look so good, but come into the harem. Come in. Those that look upon you and look down on you do not matter. I love you. That's what God tells us. That's what the Lord tells us. And how gracious He is for us. Yeah. So that is the kind of woman. And Solomon here and his bride delight in each other. There is that delight that they have. There is that joy that they have for each other. And Solomon goes on and says, if you do not know, O most beautiful among women. He's telling this woman that has been hit by the sun, dark, looked at by others, says, what is wrong with this one? For him, he says, you're most beautiful among women. You're beautiful. Doesn't matter what life has brought. You're beautiful. Doesn't matter what your skin looks like. You're beautiful. Doesn't matter what people say. You're beautiful. And the boss, Solomon himself, comes out to say it. You're the most beautiful among women. I have 1,000 of you, but you who's been in the vineyard thrown there by your brothers to go and suffer. You're the most beautiful. And for those that look at the interpretation with Christ, that's what God says to me. That's what Christ says to me. He says, you're favored. You're beautiful. You're righteous. You're blessed. Irrespective of what you've gone through, you're blessed. Yeah? Solomon comes and says to this woman, you're most beautiful among women. Follow in the tracks of the flock and pasture your young goats beside the shepherd's tents. Come in. Don't worry. Yeah? I take you in. I compare you, my love, to a mare among Pharaoh's chariots. Your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with strings of jewels. She's giving this woman high status. When you're talking about the chariots, yeah, of Pharaoh, those were high expense, yeah, high in cost, wanted by every rich king. And saying, that's the comparison I give to you. We will make for you ornaments of gold, studded with silver. Now, these are the others telling, saying, oh, she's been brought in among us. But now, let us make for her ornaments of gold, studded with silver. Let's pimp this one up because she belongs to the king. The king loves her. Yeah. And she comes out and says, while the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. Yeah. I mean, she's been made up. My beloved is to me a circuit of myrrh that lies between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of Engedi. Now, we don't know these places, but whatever words are used here, they are used by the person to express their love. And there are some words that you find in this book that may appear offensive. How did they even make it to the Bible? And some who do analysis and scholars and do theology come out to describe some of these words. For example, the verse 13, talking about, my beloved is to me a circuit of myrrh that lies between my breasts. And they come up with all sorts of interpretations. You know, some interpretations may not get so much meaning. I read one who was comparing these, verse 13, to Aaron and Moses. I wondered, where does that come into play? Another one was considering the Old Testament and the New Testament. But it is as plain as it is. No man is expressing a love to the husband. Yeah? And he comes out and says, behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Yeah? Now, this man comes out to praise the lady, telling them they're beautiful. And how often in our relationships do we come out to praise one another, to speak good words to the other, to tell your husband that you're excellent, to tell your wife that you're beautiful. However much you look like you've been beaten. You know, the ladies go through a lot. Sometimes they've given birth and kids have taken their bodies out of shape. You come out and tell them you're beautiful. You encourage them. That is your role as a lover, as a partner. And here Solomon does a good job saying, you are beautiful. You, my love, behold, you're beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Of course, I don't know what would happen if you told a woman now that your eyes are doves. But apply it to your generation, which words you use. Otherwise, you may tell them they are doves and you get into trouble. But to them, to him, that was the best way to express it. And given poetry and drama, as some partake of this book, you could have seen that as the most applicable word, saying your eyes are doves. But all in all, he's praising this woman. And she comes out and says, behold, you're beautiful, my beloved, truly delightful. Our couch is green, the beams of our house are cedar, our rafters are pine. Chapter 2 goes on and says, I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. This is the woman speaking. Says, I am the rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. Sharon is a plain in the land that they were living. And in this plain, there were flowers and all sorts of wild plants that would grow in that place, as well as lilies would grow in valleys and they would grow amongst thorns, yeah? And she says, I am those, because when you would look into the plain, they would look beautiful, yeah? There would be something to behold. Now, of course, we've had lots of comparisons, and you find it sometimes mentioned in commentary and in scholars about Jesus being the rose of Sharon, the lily in the valleys. All that comparison could be attached to the beauty, yeah, that is beheld when they look into that valley that existed in reality. And this woman comes out and says, I am that. Yeah, doesn't matter whether I'm dark, whether the sun has hit me, I'm the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. When you look at me, I thrive even among the wild plants. I thrive even among the thorns that grow. I thrive and I come out beautiful. When you look into that plain, you see beauty, and that is me. I need to speak that about myself, about my confidence to stay up there and high. I speak about the beauty that the Lord has given to me. That's what we do. We don't sink in the low self-esteem. Get out and speak positivity about yourself. Get out and speak and say, I'm successful. Get out and speak and say, I'm beautiful. Come out and speak and say, I'll succeed. My relationship shall succeed. My life shall succeed. I'll make it. My business shall succeed. I'll succeed at my work. I will live the dream of my life, that thing which I've always wanted and desired for the Lord to do for me. I will see it come to pass, because like those who look in the valley, on the plain of Sharon and in the valleys, they'll see that rose, they'll see that lily that makes it out and looks beautiful. And he comes out and says, as a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young women. There are many, but this one is special. And the lady comes out, says, as an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. I've chosen this one. There are many men, but you have to choose one. And this woman has chosen this one. Of course, you will say, why not choose Solomon? I mean, he's the richest, the wisest. Why not? Yeah, that is to Solomon. But everyone has to make a choice at one point. You have to make a choice and say, there are many, among the many young men, among the many young women, I choose this one. You cannot go having everybody. You focus your life. You get some direction and say, this is the one that I take. I'll live with this person. I'll do all. And there are troubles in relationships. There are troubles in marriages. But you make a decision and say, this is the one I'm going to live with. Because there is no assurance that when you leave that person, the next person will be better. Where is the assurance? Nowhere. So, you make a decision and say, this lady comes out, among the young men. This is like an apple tree. That is what she's defining. Yeah? So, you need to pick that apple tree for you. The one that is that apple tree among the many trees. Pick that apple and say, this is the one I go with. Yeah, this is the one I flock with. With great delight, I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. The things that come out of him, the words he speaks, the fruit of this person was good to me. Yeah, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. This man covered me with love. Sustain me with raisin, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. She's not saying that she's sick of love, but with love. You know, there are people who can love you and you feel that you are complete. This is what this woman felt with the love that Solomon had showered upon her. His left hand is under my head and his right hand embraces me. Yeah? Of course, now that also goes down to touch. There are those that have that item with them. If you don't touch them, they don't feel the love. They need to feel you touching them. When you walk, you hold their hand. It depends. Some it may not apply, but to others it applies. To this woman, it made sense. Don't know what happens to you and your relationship, but someone may desire oftentimes that you touch them. You know, that warmth that comes with your hands, with your body, it gives them the feeling that you are together, that you love them. So you don't always push people away. Hold my hand, I don't hold people in public. No, if that's what they ask for, give it to them. That is a person you love, that's what they desire. This woman comes and says, this guy does it right. Yeah, his hand is under my head. His right hand embraces me. He's always with me. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the doves of the field, that you not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. We use that word often. Do not awaken love until it pleases. Sometimes as young as primary school, 7 years old, 10 years old, 12, and you've gone out into it, it can bring you trouble because it needs satisfaction. Make sure you do it at the right point where you can be able to meet the satisfaction that it will desire or demand of you. Let it come out when it pleases. Don't force love upon people. Yeah? If you don't love somebody, don't go for them, saying that the love will come along the way. It is important that you feel it. I know there are lots of theories that we have these days concerning love and how it's supposed to be and how you feel all the goosebumps and all that at the first meet. But be careful. Is it love or is it just excitement? Or is it lust that has hit you? Yeah? Be patient. Yeah, love will unveil itself. It will awaken itself when you meet the right person. It will awaken itself when it pleases and it will come to you and you'll enjoy it. Yeah? Because love is a good thing. It's pleasurable. If you're with the right person, you feel it. You feel the joy. And the bride here adores her beloved. The voice of my beloved, behold, he comes, leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Comparison still to them, they are using animals. To you, you may not use animals. Find words that apply to your generation. Yeah? You might find her and you start saying you're like a gazelle and you get what you deserve at that point. But if it works, they want to be compared to a gazelle. Well and good. Behold, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. Yeah, there's some poetry going on here. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripens its figs and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away. Of course, there's poetry here. That's also part of this book. But you have to be creative when you're talking to your loved one also. Yeah, come up with words that apply. Come up with words that sound good. Come up with poetry of your own. And this is what he does in this case. Yeah? And says, my beautiful one, come. Though you're dark, though your skin has been tanned, though the world has hit you, there's somebody who will love you in your state. There's somebody who will come out and love you as you are. So, just wait. It is coming on your way soon. And says, oh my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Yeah? Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. This woman is coming out to proclaim and say, this is my man. Those words are not just recent. They've been there for long, even in these days. You would come out and say, this is my man, don't joke with him. This is my woman, don't play. There's that sort of protection that you require from your spouse, that you feel if they come out and speak and you hear it and they say, this is my man, you get the courage that indeed, this one has chosen me. This is my woman. You feel the security. Yeah? But then you see your spouse being touched, walk through the city and they are pulling her and you do nothing. get around and say, this is my woman. Who are you to talk to her like that? Who are you to touch her? Defend that person that you love. And this woman is coming out to speak, saying, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Even for Christ, for the interpretations that pick this book in Christ and the church, he is mine, and I am his. That is clear. Plain as it is. The Lord is mine, and I am his. When I go out, I'll speak of the Lord and say, he is mine. I don't do that because I belong to the Lord. We have a relationship, and we do not operate like that. Because I am of the Lord. I do the things of the Lord. He's mine. He stands for me. He fights for me. He secures me. And the best I will do is speak for him and say, I belong to him. He's mine, and I am his. He grazes among the lilies until the day breathes and the shadows flee. Turn, my love, my beloved, be like a gazelle or a young stag on cleft mountains. This is a story of loved ones, and it has good comparisons that you can bring on all angles. This is a book that you can turn to all angles, and it can apply. We shall stop on chapter 2 today. Tomorrow we'll continue with chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, your revelation. Lord, we are yours and we belong to you. And help us to live lives in that manner, knowing that we belong to you. And we exhort you today. Bless us in all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.